gives us and each and every one. It gives us that hope of the finish line of our eternal home that each and every one of us has. And it is so sweet to trust in Jesus. The many promises that you give us throughout the pages of history, throughout the Bible itself, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You'll never give us more than we can bear. And you'll always be there right beside us all the way to the end. We thank you for the many blessings, the strength just to get out of bed in the morning, put our feet in the floor, to get through each day, the wisdom and direction and safety and health, each one of us throughout the day. And again, I thank you for the family members, the dedication tonight that you brought out this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, we're going to go through, we got a few announcements. I mean, as far as announcements go, the men's Bible study is still the same. We'll be starting back up this Thursday, January 5th, at 6:30 in Reynoldsville. If you have any questions, see Jim Morrison. The women's Bible study, ladies' Bible study, will be starting soon. Any questions, please see Teresa Morrison. Ministry opportunities. Be sure to check out the ministry listed in the bulletin and praying for God. God could use you. Each and every one of us that are listed on that, they're on that list to keep us in prayer as well, each and every one of us. Because the devil is having a heyday out there right now. And it seems kind of chaotic, and the discipline's not there. The discipline and the what we need isn't there. The revival isn't there. But pray for a revival in today's time, and pray for our leaders, if you would, of the not only our country but around the world, because it's a worldwide epidemic. It's not just this country, and it just keeps getting worse day by day. Actually, it'll be a little bit about what. The lesson's going to be about tonight as far as adversity goes. But as far as ministry opportunities for the church, if you're interested, contact anyone, the pastor, Wendy, Bill, me, anybody, if you're interested in music, Jeff, interested in solos, doing any music, let us know, and we'll see what we can do about that. This week at TBC, Sunday, January 8th, at 6 o'clock, Sunday evening service. Wednesday will be the normal service. Thursday, January 12th, 6:30, may the Ben's Bible study. OCC, for the month of January, OCC will be collecting small toys. The table baby shower, it's still out there. I think this Sunday will be the last day for the Graves baby shower, yes, this Sunday. And we want to say thanks to everyone and encourage them through their gift. Upcoming events on Sunday, January 15th. Communion here in the AM service. Sunday, January 15th as well, there'll be a board meeting at 7 p.m. And Sunday, January 29th, it'll be the annual business meeting. Beyond that, we'll get into the study. I'd like to start off with, Dad had given me a book by Dr. David Jeremiah. It says, Answer to Questions About Adversity. We've been studying. A lot of you guys know I work up in Sheffield now with recovering addicts and other alcoholics and others. And this was a perfect study. We take questions. We take at least one or two questions each day, whether it be for morning devotions or group studies or evening devotions, and we go through it step by step. And I came across a couple questions that we all deal with, and not just these guys up there as far as addicts go that deal with, but we as far as Christians go, the world. And it has to do with how can I live for Jesus when the world around me seems to be disintegrating? That's the first question that we're going to work with. Psalms 37, if you'd like to turn to Psalms 37 right now. We'll be getting there eventually, but this is the first question that we're going to deal with. And how can I live for Jesus when the world around me seems to be disintegrating? As the world breaks down, we can be built up. We are able to live for Jesus because we know that the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. The more familiar we are with God's standards, the easier it is to see the world's ways by contrast and do the opposite. The Bible says that if we're going to make it through this confusing time, we have to prevent the outward shape of our life from being fashioned like the world by taking care that our inward spirit is transformed regularly. by the renewing of our minds. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. That's Romans 12:2. The British Bible translator, J.B. Phillips, gave us a memorable rendering of do not be conformed. He wrote, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within." How do we renew or remold our mind? By filling our mind with the Word of God, which is the only truth. And he said it many times. The Christian benefits from a paradox. While the world is falling apart, he is being built up. While the kingdom of this world is disintegrating, the Christian is integrating himself into the kingdom of God. While the world is devolving into chaos and immaturity, we are evolving in order and maturity. While the world is passing away, the Christian is passing through on his way to home, on his way home. And it's a beautiful question. It brings up a fitting tale, which bring me to, somehow Sodom and Gomorrah popped into my mind for some reason. Why, I do not know why, but it did. And I had to go back and go over it and study, restudy. And it was funny how Abraham seemed to barter with God when he was trying to find at least 50 people, 50 righteous. He said, if you'll find 50 righteous, can you save Sodom and Gomorrah? He said yes. And then Abraham figured he bit off a little bit. He might take it a step further. So he knocked it down to 40, and then 30, and then 20, and then 10. He finally got down to the number 10. If he could find 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, he asked God not to destroy the city. God has a little bit more patience than I do. that bartering he had, it took a minute to get there, down to 10. But he did, and sent the angels in to Sodom, and they obviously, you know the story, they run across Lot at the gate when they came in to the city of Sodom. And Lot sort of pretty much pressured them to stay the night at his house. He offered them meat and drink and everything else. And as soon as they went into the house was surrounded. So it's like almost like the old Indian, cowboy and Indian. They surrounded the wagon train, and the house was surrounded by the individuals of the city, to asking them to send them out, asking Lot to send the people out, the strangers out into the city so they could have relations with them, obviously. You know where it goes from there. And it just keeps disintegrating step by step by step. And the more I read, it seems like I'm listening to a podcast or the news on the radio today or anything else that comes across your phone. And it's sad to see, but America has gone, I think, in my opinion, has surpassed the depravity that Sodom and Gomorrah has put out there. A lot of you may not know now, but it's coming out now. Obviously, you know, the gay, the homosexual, the Pride Day, they have their own Pride Month. LGBTQ, they have their own Pride Month. They have their own month. Now the pedophiles have their own flag, and they want their own agenda. And they tried to sneak it in under the LGBTQ community, but they weren't having it, which I was surprised that they stood up and told them that they weren't going to do it. But they have their own flags out there right now, and they're trying to press the issue. They want their own month. They want their own Pride Month. And it's you can look it up. It's like a cancer. It's a disease that's spreading right now, of all things. And it just amazes how far it just keeps going. And as I read Sodom and Gomorrah, what they did and what they were doing, the practices, and it just parallels with America today. But like I said, in my opinion, America today is far surpassed the depravity that Sodom and Gomorrah was leveled for. I mean, that they were destroyed for, that God actually destroyed them for. And it can cause, not only in the Christian, but anyone that follows the news, that doesn't matter. It can cause a hopelessness, like a sort of depression. You could fall into a sense of depression, hopelessness that it is. It's never going to come out, never come out of that hole, never come out of the chaos. But God talks about in Psalms 37, that's where the second question comes into play, and that's where we're going to deal with Psalms 37. A lot of you may know. We're going to read verses 1 through 11, if I could. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Which brings me around to the second question that we had to address up there. It sort of followed the first. How can I fight the feeling insecurity with all this going on in this world today? When feeling insecure, the book of Psalms is a wonderful resource for anyone needing guidance, comfort, or help. An incredible portion of Scripture to offer comfort and direction during these times is the 37th Psalm. Psalm 37 gives 6 steps for overcoming insecurity, written by a man who looked around and saw values and justice turned upside down in his day. I mean, does that ring a bell? Does that ring a bell in today's time? I mean, it parallels, it's so close, it's scary. And this was a long time ago. Step 1 is to trust the Lord, verse 3. We talked about in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Simple commands, simple instructions from God himself. And it goes on, trust God, not man. Step number 2, do good also, in verse 3. Regardless of what others are doing, we're to do what God expects us to do, what he calls us to do. A lot of us are called to a ministry, whether it be the mission field, foreign lands, whether it be the mission fields here, right outside these doors, in our own communities, whether it be to help guys out, like I'm helping out in the addicts in Sheffield or in Tynesta, pastors. We all are called, we were called to do this, and it's a calling that you shouldn't ignore. If you do have a tendency, I have a tendency to be a little hard-headed sometimes. the road, he's going to bring you around one way or another. I mean, God will bring you around one way or another. Some people learn the easy way. Some people learn the hard way. For those of us that learn the hard way, guaranteed, the fact is he will bring us around sooner or later, no matter what he has to do to us, whether he has to bend us, whether he has to break us and remold us like the clay pot. He's going to bring us around. But verse 3, regardless of what others are doing, we are to do what God expects us to do. Step 3 is to dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. And verse 3 is the same thing. The same verse covers it. If we are continually thankful for what God has done in our life and his faithfulness, our security will be in him. Step 4, delight yourself also in the Lord. In verse 4, Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Yeah, when it comes down to the desires of our heart, we have a lot. We have a lot of desires. We have a lot of wants. But mainly our needs, he will give us our, and he will help fulfill our needs. He is from the wants and desires. It's a little bit, that's on shaky ground. He's not going to give you more than what you can handle. He's not, like I said, he's always going to be there one way or another. He's not going to give us more than we can bear. But it falls under the lines of more our needs than our desires that he will give us, that he'll furnish for us to help us through this life. And through the calling, whatever calling he did, that he called you to be, whether it be overseas, whether it be here, whether it be in churches, whether it be out on the streets, he's going to fulfill your needs. When our delight is in God, we gain his perspective on life. Step 5, commit your way to the Lord. And verse, as you can see in verse 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. It's another promise. I mean, that's what we were talking about before. I mean, we trust in him. He's never going to give us more than we can handle, more than we can bear. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. There's so many promises that he gives us throughout the year, down through the pages of history and the centuries throughout the Bible that we can count on, the promises we can rely on, we can rest on. That's another thing. I like the footsteps, that the poem, the footsteps, the footprints in the sand. Whenever he see there was only one set of footprints, we realized that he was actually carrying us. It wasn't our footprints. He was actually carrying us through that time, through that valley, through that dark tunnel, wherever we may have gone. Because see, we have the mountaintop highs, we have the valley lows. Each and every one of us go through our own time. We're all like fingerprints, like I said before. There's no two fingerprints alike. We may have certain circumstances that each of us go through that may parallel others, and some similarities, but never two are going to be the same. But nonetheless, he's still carrying us through the times of trouble, through the good times, through the bad times, just alike as far as that goes. But it says, commit your way to the Lord, in verse 5. When we are committed to God and his purposes, we will not fear the future. And right now, there's a lot of fear running around our country, running around. Doesn't matter if you're Christian, non-Christian, through the press, through the TV, through the media. There's a lot of fear going around out there. They're trying to push it. And there are a lot of factors for that. But there's nothing to fear. When it comes down to, you look at the Christian life, the Christian race, we have an eternal home. Just like the pastor likes to say, I tell you guys, we know where we're going. It's just the getting there that might be a little hazy, might be a little on the awkward side for us sometimes. But when we finish the race, and we cross that finish line and enter into our eternal address, that eternal address that we are each given when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, there's no fear. It gets rid of all that fear, is gone. There shouldn't be no fear whatsoever. We should have no fear at all, because we know who we are, we know where we're going, and we know exactly why we're going there. But that fear is, they're pushing it. The media, the propaganda, and it doesn't matter, TV, radio, whatever you listen to, for news, or wherever you go to get the news, they're pushing the agenda, that fear, down through the, whether it be masks, whether it be viruses, whatever it may be, they're trying to push that agenda of fear. But finally, in step 6, it is to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who proposes in his way. That's verse 7, what we read in verse 7. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. That little statement says, wait patiently. How many folks do you know that can wait patiently, that actually wait patiently? I can tell you right now, patience isn't one of my virtues, let's put it that way. I struggle with that each and every day. Doesn't matter what it's for. But our culture, our civilization, I mean, it pushes it. Just like I said, when I said before, I think, anybody remember the Jetsons cartoon? I may be dating myself, but whenever they went to eat, they pressed a button and they spit a pill out the wall, and that's it. I mean, there was no wait. There's no patience there. It's getting run. It's grab and run. That's what our civilization. Immediate instant gratification is where our culture and our civilization has gotten to. Microwaves, whatever it may be. And instant gratification isn't where it's at. What he says here, he says, wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Verse 7. We are not to bear ill will toward those who seem prosperous in spite of ignoring God. How many people do we know out there that we see that aren't Christians that get ahead, and we keep asking ourselves how or why? How are they getting ahead? How are they banking the money? How are they making this, getting that? They have the big bank accounts, the big houses, umpteen cars, and you know they're not saved. You know they're not living the Christian lifestyle. Whether it be we talk about rock stars or whoever you want to use as an example, you can throw that name into the blank there. And we keep asking ourselves how they get ahead. We keep asking ourselves, beating our head against the wall, why are they getting ahead? Why are they getting ahead? In a sense, after so long, it has a tendency to throw you into a state of depression or despair. And like I said, these guys I work with up there, addicts aren't, I mean, drugs and alcohol aren't the only addictions out there. Depression, food, money, gambling, it goes, the list goes on and on. They use different forms for their comfort zone. Pastor always talked about in RU, and we always try to push up there, we try to reform their comfort zone. The comfort zone is where we run to when things get hard in our life. And when things get rough, when we go through trials, troubles, and struggles, adversities, tribulations in our life, that comfort zone, that's the reason the drug addicts, the alcoholics run to where they do. They run to their comfort zone. Gamblers will run the same way to money. People that are addicted to food, whoever, whatever your addiction may be, you run to it. We need to change the comfort zone. That's the whole point, and that's the whole purpose. That's what we're trying to do up in Sheffield. That's what Pastor was talking, we tried to do here with the RU classes that he had. We need to change the comfort zone that the folks, the people run to whenever we hit them troubles, them speed bumps, them trials, struggles, and tribulations throughout our life. But depression's another. I mean, it's a big one. Hopelessness, depression, it's a big one. We are not to bear ill will toward those who seem prosperous in spite of ignoring God. We are to rest in God and wait for him to settle up the accounts of justice, fairness, and righteousness. And like I said, he will. It's the accounts, that justice, that scale, it tips now one way in favor of the world, and it's tipping way in favor of the world right now. But Christ is going to even it up here pretty soon. And whether it be after the rapture, or if he has plans on it before the rapture with the revival, I do not know. I would like to see it happen before the rapture itself, and as far as in a revival, whether it be in churches, whether it be out in these streets, outside these doors, that would be an awesome sight. Jesus offered this invitation to the weary and insecure. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's Matthew 11:28. He is Lord over all. We can rest securely in him. And it says, life's road is wide open to new places, opportunities, accomplishments, and amazing possibilities when God is in the driver's seat. There's a book out there that I came across. I think it says God is my co-pilot. I can't remember who exactly wrote that. Yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful book, but God doesn't need to be the co-pilot. He needs to be in the driver's seat. And right now, the world is, they don't have him in. He's not in the driver's seat right now. Satan's having a heyday right now, as I just explained, with the situation with their own flag and other flags that they want to try to push their agendas. And that's where the fear arises from. But God needs to be in the driver's seat. He doesn't need to be the co-pilot sitting beside us. He needs to be in that driver's seat in each and every one of our lives, not just our lives as Christians, but the folks outside. But like I said, the pastor had talked about his will is being done in the Christian's life just as well as the unsaved life. And one way or another, down through the page of history, you can see he's accomplished his will with unsaved folks as well as Christians. But adversity brings us around to him, to rest in him and trust in him and rely upon his promises, each and every one of them that he gives us. And there's no reason, like I said, there is no reason to fear. It's nothing but hope from here out till we win that race. But like I said, I'd like to see a revival before he decides to call time in the rapture. It would be a wonderful thing. It would be an amazing thing, an awesome thing, to see how it starts and where it would start. But all we can do is keep reaching toward that goal, that end goal, and seeing if we can help it along, see if we can start it, start the ball rolling as far as a revival goes. But any comments, questions? Yeah, there was a shirt I had I wanted to get. It had the person on his knees and said that Satan had thought he'd win. Well, won whenever he saw him hit his knees until that word came out, the last word came out of his mouth when he said amen. And he realized that the battle was over. But any other comments, questions, or none? But it's not like a normal rehab. It's not like the 30, 60, 90 days where we keep them up there for six months to a year. It's a faith-based rehab. I help teach the GEDs if they need it when they come in. But we also, like I said, we also run the morning devotions, evening devotions, and group sessions. And it's coming around. We have three guys in there right now, and they're starting to come around. Move forward. Things are starting to move forward. They're starting to do things together as a group. They're starting to want to do things together as a group, not separately, not try to hide things or try to twist things. We had some issues before. Obviously, we're going to have them again, but it's an interesting time right now, and it's moving forward. Moving forward slow. We take a step or two forward, and then maybe three or four steps backward now and again. But it's a wonderful time. I love the job. These guys are obviously. A lot of you know my testimony, and you know why it's going and leading into Sunday nights where I'm going with Jonah, using Jonah's life as an example. But we all have our experience in the belly of the whale. Our experiences, our dark time, whether it be the dark valleys, the dark tunnels, we all have those experiences in our life that change our lives forever. And some are a little bit longer than others, and some are a little bit shorter than others. But nonetheless, it provides the lessons that we need to go and witness, just like Jonah was called to do. He didn't want to until after he spent that time, and he had to go through that time in the belly of the whale, and the belly of the fish, for that time till it spit him up on land, with sores and lesions on his body, before he decided to say, "Here am I, God, send me. Use me." And these guys are hurting. There's a lot of guys out there hurting. The big city crime, the big city drugs, and everything else has moved out into the countryside. And it's a sad sight. And then it's reached as far as it has, and it's come out as far as it has. But yes, it's 6 months to a year. It depends on how quickly, how you set yourself to doing your job there. You may, it could be 5 months, 3 months. You could be out in 3, 5, 4, 5 months, or you could spend the whole 12 months there if you don't do nothing, if you choose not to do nothing at all.
Jason, is it volunteer or is it mandatory by court?
It's mostly mandatory by court. We get them out of, we get them from drug court, or if they've been in prison, if the judge is willing to give them reprieve to come to a place like that and go through the programs. They also have it looming over their head that if they don't, if they screw up, you're not going, there's no collect $200, go pass, go, isn't it? You're going straight back to prison. That's the way it. Kind of, sort of, but it is. But it's 18, the guy's 18 and older. I'm dealing with the guys 18 and older. The guys are there between 28 and 33 right now. We have a military veteran in there, which is so sad. And he's been an alcoholic for I don't know how many years now. And we're failing our men and women. And the guys, the men and women in the military, and there's a lot of them are homeless, running around on the street right now, without no home, that are committing crime just to go, just to have a place, just to have a roof over their heads, and it's not good. But there's a waiting list. We just need people. We need workers. I mean, same as anybody other, same as any other job. You've run across that we can't hire people that want to do the job. So, I mean, that's where we're at. I'd ask if you'd pray, keep that in serious prayer, not only there in Sheffield, but Tynesta as well. The guy for 18 and under at Tynesta, they deal with the kids from the cities, inner cities like Philly and Pittsburgh and stuff like that. And they deal with a little bit harder time down there. But it's rough all over, all over the place. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Like in 2 days, I can put in 32, 33 hours. Justin's putting in 72 hours in about 3 days time. Justin, yes. I mean, we have three guys, but it's just three of us covering three shifts because of people that quit and that don't want to do the job, don't want to work. So we got to cover three shifts because it is a constant. It has to be a 24/7 supervision. They do get family time. Their families are allowed to come. They do get family passes to go home for holidays, certain holidays. Obviously not New Year's, but Christmas. They went home for Christmas for 3 days for Christmas, and they came back. We had a few issues with a few problems, but it is moving forward. The guys are making steps forward, and they're starting to do things together as a group. Like I said, now they don't do things separately. They do things together as a group, whether it be go up to the gym, work out, whether it be study time through the Bible, morning devotions, group time. But it is also a good time to get from set aside one at a time, because I get a feel for where they're at separately, and it's easier to talk to them when I get them one-on-one. And it's a good time to get a feel for where they're at. they're struggling with as far as the religious aspect goes. Zach made headway, a lot of headway. We almost had him say, he almost accepted him. He's close. I think he's on East Teeter, but it's getting there. We're getting there. But hopefully these guys are going to be the flagship project as far as they'll, once they're done, we're hoping that they might work for us too as well, to be mentors and teachers as well for the upcoming guys that are in there. But any prayer requests, any praises? Yes. Okay.
I'm sorry, what was that, Jason?
He's thanking God for chiropractors. I can understand that. I'll second that one. Okay. Well, I think that passed. Any more praises, prayer requests? Okay. Are they going to do surgery? Okay.
Appreciate your prayer for injection into my knee tomorrow. It's something very simple. People have had it before, but I have some.
Cortisone? Yeah.
I would pray that, or have you pray that it might do what it's supposed to
do. Okay. No side effects, and it does what it's supposed to do. Joseph Dixon. That's a young age to pass away from, pass at. Yes, ma'am. Everett?
Yeah.
Okay, Everett, okay. MRI. That fear tactic comes into play when you see a shadow. I mean, that's